Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to the attention of humanity that is suited to its needs at that particular time. Usually, this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces is in decline, and as our solar system moves more into alignment with the constellation of Aquarius, new energies begin to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly, and chaos ensues as the old order begins to crumble to make way for the impulse of sharing, justice, and peace for all.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into our program. With increasing extreme weather events, persecuted people moving from country to country, and national economies stretched to the limit, it's time to start serious planning for the future. In the past, we have presented information on what's called the Universal Basic Income, in short UBI, which provides for those on the poverty line and in their chosen profession. It allows other people to gain skills, and it supports us when we need to change occupations. Today, we have a short article about Universal Basic Services, which is written by a professor at University College in London, an option worth considering. Putting money in pockets is one thing, but ensuring each adult and child adequate food, housing, and bus travel would take the caring aspect one step further to tackling major 21st century life challenges. Maitreya and the Masters have been discussing sharing between the nations. The concept of Universal Basic Services, or UBS, could be expanded internationally too, once we have grasped the idea of unity and oneness.
Now, the Universal article is entitled Universal Basic Services Could Free Us from Poverty in the Daily Grind. A radical and inspiring new proposal for tackling the shameful and dramatic increase in poverty and inequality in the UK has come from the Institute for Global Prosperity, University College London, in a report published in October 2017. And it's entitled Universal Basic Services, UBS. If we are to increase cohesion, the sense that we are all in it together, we must act where we can have the greatest impact, and that is on the cost of basic living, said Professor Henrietta Moore, the Institute's director. The UK already has a greatly valued, although struggling, education and health service that is free for all users. For many years, the popular Freedom Pass has given free public transport travel to Londoners who are disabled or aged over 60. UBS would simply and daringly extend this principle to provide for the basic needs for everyone, including housing, food, and IT services. The report recommends a massive expansion of social housing, free bus travel for all, meal provision for those most at risk of food insecurity, and basic phone and internet access. Professor Jonathan Ports of King's College London said, "The role of the state is to ensure an equitable distribution of not just money, but opportunity to participate and contribute to society. For that to be meaningful, there are likely to be certain services everyone should be able to access."
offered as a way of coping with the job losses created by increasing use of robots and mechanisation, UBS would cost much less than the universal basic income. It could free people from the monotonous daily grind and stress of mechanical work carried out simply to meet the most basic of human needs. Creativity, personal freedom, and altruistic work would flourish. Responding to the launch of the UBS report, John McDonnell of the UK opposition Labour Party said, "Rapid technological changes are a profound challenge for our economy and society. This report offers bold new thinking on how we can overcome those challenges and create an economy that is radically fairer and offers opportunities for all. It makes an important contribution to the debate around universal basic income and will help inform Labour's thinking on how we can build an economy that truly works for the many, not the few." UCL's Institute for Global Prosperity was set up in 2014. Its remit is to rethink social and economic models to tackle the major challenges facing the world in the 21st century as it grapples with climate change, resource depletion, and a rapidly growing human population. And the source of that is a rather complicated URL, but I'll read it out, ucl.ac.uk/Bartlett/IGP.
And now on to grassroots sharing. And I have an article here written by Elisa Graf, and it's entitled, "What Sharing Makes Possible, The Open-Hearted Efforts of German Citizens to Support Refugees." It has been 2 years since Germany opened its borders to over a million refugees, most fleeing the devastating war in Syria. German Chancellor Angela Merkel risked her political career in August 2015 when she suspended the Dublin Protocol, an EU policy enacted in 2003, which forces refugees to claim asylum in the first safe country they reach. Her decision enabled refugees who made it to Germany to apply for asylum without fear that they would be deported to one of the countries they had to pass through to get there. The recent German elections have been called a populist rebuke of Merkel's courageous decision, and it is widely accepted that the fear stoked by the refugee influx is what won the nationalist anti-immigration AfD or Alternative for Germany party enough support that it will now enter parliament, making it the first openly nationalist party to enter the German government in 6 decades. In an attempt to allay her countrymen's fears at the time she announced Germany's open borders, Chancellor Merkel optimistically declared, "Wir schaffen das," we can do it. Thousands of Germans in villages and towns all across the country have since shown that indeed they can. They've housed refugees, donated clothing and food, offered language courses, and welcomed them into their own communities. According to a recent report by Spiegel Online, between 2015 and 2016, some 15,000 refugee projects were launched in Germany. Many of them focused on helping newcomers learn the language, things like volunteer instruction, mentoring, or casual meetups with refugees. While such efforts go largely underreported in the media, former UK politician and CEO of the International Rescue Mission, David Miliband, in Newsweek writes, "Merkel's conviction that her country was more than capable of managing the situation has been borne out. Thousands of Germans mobilised in support of the new arrivals, taking pride in their sense that Germany was doing what was right and fair."
Like many small villages across Germany, Steierberg in Lower Saxony, with a population of 5,262, was told in the autumn of 2015 to expect the arrival of around 100 refugees. A meeting was announced by the mayor and held at the local elementary school, where the 80 townsfolk who attended were informed by county personnel that Germany's Immigration Administration was doing all it could to process the refugees in a timely manner. But help by average citizens was absolutely necessary. The villagers were asked to self-organise and arrange housing and German language classes for the coming refugees. A handful of village residents quickly took up the work, coordinating a list of volunteers. They set up a Facebook page through which to communicate, organise the collection and distribution of donated clothing and household goods, and offered local German classes for the new arrivals. Villagers volunteered to care for individuals and families to help them with integration, finding bicycles, obtaining medical services, researching educational and work opportunities, practicing language skills, and filling out notoriously complex German paperwork. Two beneficiaries of these volunteers' efforts were Abele Fafana, now 18, from the Ivory Coast, and Ibrahim Fayed, now age 5, a Syrian of Palestinian descent, who had both crossed treacherous seas in flimsy inflatable rafts to reach the European continent. Fafana, a street kid from the age of 10, had unwittingly followed a friend to make the dangerous crossing from Morocco to Spain across the Gibraltar Strait. Bewildered by his situation, finding himself in an isolated rural German town, Fafana soon met residents of Steierberg, who also spoke French, his native language. Villagers befriended him and opened their homes, including him in their families' lives, sharing meals to get to know him and to make him feel at home. Locals helped him to get the support of an official state advocate, as he was still a minor. Steierberg's soccer team invited him to join and train with them. With only 4 years of elementary education, he joined German language classes, and it was arranged for him to attend a vocational training school where he elected to study plumbing. Caring teachers at that school noted his self-discipline and dedication and found him a 3-year apprenticeship with a local plumbing company where he works today. Ibrahim Fayed's middle-class family, his father Mahmoud, a maths professor, then 18-year-old brother Khaled and 10-year-old sister Hadil, had fled Damascus after years of trying to wait out the war. As the violence escalated, they left everything they owned and journeyed much of the way on foot to Turkey, then across one of the Mediterranean Sea's most terrifying routes to Greece, where they were stuck for 6 months before they were finally able to continue to Germany.
Steierberg resident Lisa Freeling met the Fayed family at a monthly event, Café Osas, set up at a local church by her neighbour Claudia Els, to give locals and refugees a chance to meet and get to know each other. Freeling was impressed by the Fayed children's display of German so soon after their arrival in the country. The older children were already translating for the other refugees, who still could only speak Arabic. It was remarkable, she noted. Freeling soon met with the family to help move from a house where they had been living with two other families to an apartment of their own. Another local resident procured furniture for their new dwelling. Townsfolk helped to organise a professional apprenticeship for Ibrahim's older brother, Khaled, at a local business in the town. The children have integrated into the community and attend local schools. Of her participation, Freeling says, "It is very rewarding supporting refugees. We live in a relatively rich country, and I still remember my parents' stories about World War II. It's a natural reaction to want to help, but requires compassion, joy, skills, and most of all, patient, unselfish teamwork. At a time when the media appears more focused on highlighting the problems and divisions created by the immigration crisis, Germany's citizens are showing what sharing makes possible." Naina Bakijal, writing in Time magazine, says it best. "A refugee crisis that has brought out ugliness in other parts of Europe is so far revealing the best of Germany." Her sentiment echoes Berliner Tim Florian Horn, who took in an Afghan family in 2015. It may seem like this crisis is ripping the continent apart, but giving shelter to people who need help, that's the true meaning of United Europe. And the source for this is from Newsweek.com, Time.com, and also Spiegel.de.
We'd like to finish the program by reading an article by Benjamin Krems Master called "The Time Has Come." No longer must the world wait for the public sight of Maitreya. Soon, before the nations, the great Lord will appear, and, addressing them as an elder brother, make known his hopes and plans. He will, of course, emphasize the need for sharing, the key to all future progress for the race. He will, too, show that sharing of resources is the simplest to achieve of all the many changes required to steer men back from catastrophe. When men share, he will say, they will renew their faith in life. Soon, very soon, the media networks will carry the news that a new voice speaks, a new vision presents itself to the people, a new concern demonstrates its compassion for the suffering of millions and calls forth the heart's love of men. Thus will it be. Thus will Maitreya awaken the conscience of the peoples, and thus will the people awaken to their opportunity to serve the plan and their destiny. When Maitreya appears, he will address the major problems which now beset humanity: the misery of the starving, the dire poverty of millions condemned to living hell, the many wars now raging, known or unheard, the vast army of refugees displaced and discarded, the prisoners of conscience whose voices are muted in pain. Maitreya will call for a greater responsibility for the planet's health, the creation of an economy sustainable and fair, the husbandry of resources to safeguard future generations, the purification of the environment, the air, the soil, the waters on which all life depends. These Maitreya will address and offer his solutions. Unknown as yet to all but a few, Maitreya must now enter the world stage and present his ideas to all. Many will see the normality and justice of his views, but others, sadly, will resent his intrusion into man's affairs and will call for his exclusion. Thus will the sword of cleavage present to men their choice: to continue on the downward slope to unrelenting suffering and pain, or to remedy the ills of the past and enter into their birthright. Maitreya will call for everyone to join his army of helpers, to sustain and purify the environment, to galvanize the peoples into action on their own behalf, to cleanse the planet of polluting toxins, and to re-establish harmony among the nations. His task is not little, but he stands ready to fight the present evil and to conquer.
And now we complete the program with a message from Benjamin Krems Master from The Time Ahead. Preparations for this future time are well advanced. The blueprints of the new civilization impress the minds of men. Already, formulae are being discovered which embody basic truths, and far-sighted thinkers envision a new beauty. Still, the old struggles to maintain its grip, locked in a forlorn battle with life itself. The end of the old is near, for the sound of the new has found an echo in the hearts of men. Soon, the Christ will gather together around him all who can respond to the new note. His teachings will lead men safely through the maze of illusion and darkness and show them the splendor which awaits them in the time ahead. Thank you very much for listening to us today, and that's our program complete. If you'd like further information, you can contact us online at www.share-international.org, or you may write to us at Box 34491, Birkenhead. Love and blessings. Thank you.